Again, I want to say thank you guys for being here. I want to welcome all of you joining us online. We're grateful to have you, whether you're getting back from Thanksgiving vacation or you're sick because you ate too much food or whatever. We're grateful to have you. And hey, I want to let you know about something real quick. On each one of your seats, there's a little survey. This is our opportunity. We do this twice a year to find out how you're engaging at Front Range and how we can serve you. So we really believe as a church, it's our job to help you in spiritual maturity, and which is your biblical knowledge, your intimacy, and your obedience of God's word. But we don't know how to help you without knowing where you are. And so this survey gives us kind of an idea of where you are. So if you haven't filled that out, please do so at some point. We've been doing it for 3 weeks now. If you're like, man, I'm not going to fill this thing out, it's cool. You'll get a phone call from us, okay? Because we want everybody to do it. So if you're like, I don't want a phone call from you, then fill it out. If you're a guest, that's cool. You can fill that out too. But if you're definitely a part of Front Range, make sure you do that so we can find out how we can best serve you. As the survey is all based on our values, and one of our core values is develop and deploy, which basically means helping you discover your giftings and then giving you opportunities to live out those giftings and give you opportunities to live out leadership and how God's wired you and all of that. And over the last 3.5 years of us being a church, I've really tried to figure out how do we do that in the realm of preaching. You know, it's difficult because you only have a certain amount of Sundays that you can give people opportunities. And so we do have a teaching team here, but I've realized, man, that we have some incredible people that God is raising up to take the reins and preaching, whether it's here or different places or whatever. And so we said, how can we give them opportunities? So we thought today will be that day of giving some people. We've never done this before, besides last service. What we're doing is we're giving each one of these individuals 7 minutes to preach, and they're going to preach on a value, one of our four values that we have as a church. So they only get 7 minutes. Some of you, you're like super anal, and so you're like going to start clocking them. And if they do go over, just tell them afterwards. Don't hold your hand up or stand up or anything like that. Just tell them afterwards, yo, you went over. Don't even do that. But it's powerful. They spoke these messages to me and a couple others about 2 weeks ago, and we gave them feedback, and then they did it last service, and it was really, really powerful. So I want to introduce them real quick. This is Mr. Jameson Brown. Jameson actually just had foot surgery last week, so we couldn't have planned better timing for this. So he's just going to like hobble up here, and we'll see if he needs a stool or can just like go for it, right? No, do a stool. So Jameson moved out here actually before the church ever started to help us, and right now currently oversees our online campus and does a phenomenal job with that. Right here is Mr. Enrique Jackson. Enrique's been with us for about 3 years. Yeah, Enrique, the cool two amazing things about Enrique. One, he drives from Boulder area every single weekend, every weekend. I think that's incredible. And two, clearly he's the best dressed dude in this church. So at Christmas time, I'm always like, I'm going to beat Enrique today, and I still never do. He's a good looking dude. I can say that. And then this is Brandon Hare. Brandon is on staff with us, is our development pastor. Him and his family moved out here about a year and a half ago. And so these three guys are going to bring a powerful word. And then over here is Miss Jackie Yates. She's y'all didn't get anything like that at all. Jackie's like pretty much like a native here. I mean, she's been here longer than 5 years, so that classifies as a native, I think. I got booed last service for saying anything close to that, and not rightfully so. I'm going to get a native sticker. I've been here 4 years. All right, so the three native people in our church and our city have booed me. I'm excited for what Jackie has, so I'm going to get out of the way and just let them go. So, Mr. Brandon, you're up first.
Awesome. Well, when Ernest said we each got 70 minutes, I was really excited, so I'm going to pack this thing in. All right, so my name is Brandon Hare. I'm the development pastor. I am super excited to talk to you guys today. We're a church that really seeks to help people become intentional neighbors through knowing and following Jesus, and how we do that is by living out the four values that we're going to talk about today. I get the honor of kicking things off and talking about contagious generosity. My favorite part of the phrase contagious generosity is the word contagious. If you look it up in the dictionary, it says capable of being spread from person to person. Okay. But if you're like me and you prefer the slightly grosser, a little more medically accurate definition, it is capable of being transmitted by bodily contact with an infected person. That's gross. But think about it for a second. What if your life was like that? What if your generosity was like that? What if your generosity was so evident and it was done with such joy that just by being in your presence, other people felt compelled to be generous as well? What if your generosity was capable of being transmitted by bodily contact with an infected person? But because of how we view money, and we've made it this sort of deeply personal thing, we don't want to talk about it, it's a little bit hard to make our generosity contagious, right? But if Jesus came to earth to teach us how to live full and free lives, and this was the second most important topic that he discussed, or most frequent topic that he discussed, it's probably important for us to take it pretty seriously, right? Front Range is a truly generous church, and we've lived that out recently in this Love in Action campaign that we're in. I won't steal Ernest's thunder and tell you how close we are to the $75,000 goal, but we're getting there. And with that, we're going to be able to do so many awesome things. We're going to be able to partner with other ministries so that people can hear about Jesus for the first time. Or we're going to be able to meet people's tangible needs like we did this past weekend with the Thanksgiving baskets. And again, we'd love for you guys to partner with us to make that goal if that's something that God lays on your heart. But let's take a minute and pull back from that and look at what's on the other side of generosity. What happens in the heart of a believer when we're generous? You see, it's easy to look at the other side and say, oh, people's tangible needs are getting met. People that have never heard about Jesus before are hearing about him. And those things are awesome. We're so excited to celebrate those. But what happens in the heart of the believer? I never saw contagious generosity more evident than when my wife and I moved here to join the staff at Front Range. We had to raise our first year's salary. And we did that by getting donations. Basically, I spent a bunch of hours writing a support letter, hand addressing all of them so that they wouldn't get thrown away as junk mail, and then sending them out to a very large list of people. But the way I saw that contagious generosity lived out was through my family and my wife's family. Yeah, they gave directly to our cause, but what they did outside of that was so much more impactful than what they could have given. They told our story. They shared our letter. In fact, my dad's a contractor, and he would hand it off to people that he was building houses for, or vendors or subcontractors. He's like, I know what I paid you. You can give some of that. And my mother-in-law was, she's just very social with everybody. She's never met a stranger. And so she gave it to as many people as she could. In fact, she gave it to her doctor, and her doctor gave to our support. And so I thought it was funny because her generosity was contagious during a time when she was possibly contagious. She texted me after the last service and said that was cool, so just so you know. But what if your generosity was like that? What if your generosity was so much so that people just wanted to join in? I think we can get there. Scripture says it this way. It says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put in your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. A lot of times this verse is taken out of context and people think that Jesus is talking directly about money. He's not. He's speaking about judgment. He's talking about the posture of our heart. He's encouraging us to have a generous posture towards people, whether it's with our judgment, our finances, our time, to just be generous in general. Now, this verse reminds me of cooking, and I love to cook. If you guys are friends with me on Facebook, you'll have seen some crazy pictures from Thanksgiving. Or if you're not friends with me on Facebook, go look them up. You'll be jealous. It's cool. But there's a debate a lot of times about a level scoop or a heaping scoop versus pinch of this, dash of that. And I'm a level scoop guy. I believe in science, right, especially when it relates to cooking. Don't give me this artsy stuff. And if you think that your grandma's mac and cheese is better than mine, you might be right. But I bet you can't make it. Just saying. That's all I'm just saying. There's more to it than that, right? I believe that we all really want to be generous, but we decide to protect ourselves, right? We want to hide behind things like wisdom and frugality, and we're preparing for a rainy day, or we're spending on an every day. But what we're really doing is saying, God, you know what? I don't need your help. I'll cover my own stuff. In fact, did you know that Troy Polamalu's hair, Mariah Carey's legs, Keith Richards' middle finger, and Jennifer Lopez's butt all have multi-million dollar insurance policies on them? It's like a, hey, just in case, I'm really well known for this thing, so I don't want to lose it. And if I do, I need to be covered, right? It's like we have this identity issue. We're building walls so that we can protect ourselves and our stuff. But here's what I know about walls. The same walls that'll keep the disasters out are going to hold you captive and keep you in. Proverbs 11:24 says, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. The truth I want you guys to walk away with today is this. Contagious generosity leads to irrefutable freedom. The larger the walls we build in our lives, the more captive we are to our stuff. And the only way to break out of that captivity is to be generous, to end the cycle of acquisition syndrome and give. That's the way that we live the life that Christ has called us to. That's the way that we find freedom in him. That's the way that we break the chains of the things that are holding us back and live a full and free life. Let me ask you this question again as I close it up. What if by just crossing paths with you, people felt compelled to be generous? What if as a church, our generosity was the thing that we were known for, that we were so evident and so joyful in our generosity that more and more people would come to know the name of Jesus because we were willing to give? Or what if we met needs that no one else is willing to meet, all because we were generous and we set that example and we helped others decide to join in and be generous as well? Let's be that church, Front Range. Let's make a difference. Thanks, guys.
Good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing? Yeah. Did everyone have a great Thanksgiving? Yeah? Fun time with the family, being able to have that wonderful home gathering, celebrate family, right? Well, in case you missed it, my name's Enrique, and I've been married to this wonderful Italian-American woman for the past 11 years now. There you go. Now, one of the incredible things when we first got married is I would go visit her folks during the holidays. And her mom in her kitchen has this plaque that has a very interesting story that reveals something very intriguing. So it's a story of this elderly Italian man on his deathbed, laying there, coming to grips with it ending, of going to the afterlife. When all of a sudden, his nose senses an aroma. What is it? But this wonderful scent of his favorite Italian almond-flavored cookies wafting through the air. It literally breathes new life into him, and he sits out of bed wondering, oh my goodness, what is this? This heavenly goodness. He rolls out of bed, crawls, and makes his way to the door, and hand over hand makes his way down the stairs. Seeing the kitchen door, he flops his way on the floor, crawls to the door, and what meets his eyes? Was he in heaven already? Was this the last wonderful thing that his wonderful wife of 60 years has done for him before he passes? Because what does he see on the kitchen table but hundreds of his favorite Italian almond-flavored cookies out on display? Oh, his heart is so joyed. With mustering every single bit of energy he has left, he throws himself on the ground, crawling and making his way to the table. Reaching up, he can already taste this wonderful flavor of goodness. Reaching up onto the table, he's met with a smack. And his wife points to him, "That's not for you. That's for your funeral." That's a funny story, right? But that is so true. Literally, my wife's extended family is literally like that. That is a real, real thing. Guests are always first. How many of you guys have those special plates, those special china? You know, the things that you don't have anyone else over except when you have that special time, holidays, whatever, that special china. Anyone have any of those? All right. Early on in my wife and I's marriage, we got plenty of those, especially for our wedding gifts. Those special, ornate, beautiful china, what we'd use it was only reserved for, you know, guests. And she got it from her mom, and her mom got it from her mom. But it wasn't until a family member, came to us and taught us a very important lesson. Why reserve our best stuff for guests? Why do we reserve our best stuff for those on the outside instead of those in our very own family? Do we celebrate our family? You know, it's often easier to give of our best to those on the outside. You know, giving to the homeless, extending ourselves in service even to the church. And that's incredible and wonderful and good. But what if it all starts much closer to home? What if it begins with those under our own roof? You see, it's easy to give to those on the outside, often to the very neglect of our own family. But it's not supposed to be that way, is it? Let's flip that. What if we demonstrate our faithfulness and our love for Jesus by how we treat those in our own family? This is what the Apostle Paul says when he encourages his young disciple Timothy on how to lead the church. He gives very specific, very special instructions on how the true church members are to behave in the family of God. And this is what he says in 1 Timothy 5:8. But if someone does not provide for his own, especially his own family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. At Front Range, we sincerely desire to live out this biblical principle. We want to create an environment where this scripture is not just an idea, but a tangible reality. Even in the lobby, and oftentimes you'll be able to see with your kids, bringing back home these special, wonderful pieces of paper, these wonderful resources for you to take advantage of on how to engage those under your own roof, your kids, your brothers, your sisters, those in your own family. We want to resource you and provide those tools so that you feel equipped to serve and love those under your own roof. Let's take advantage of that. Don't give your best to just those on the outside, right? Demonstrate your realest, rawest, most authentic faithfulness to Jesus by intentionally loving those in your own family. Come on now, let's take down the special china and celebrate your family. Thank you. Thank you.
Bring it a little closer. Thank you. Thank you, Brandon. Hi there. My name is Jameson Brown, as Ernest said. And today I'm going to be sharing about develop and deploy. But I want to start with a question. Is that okay? Okay. By a show of hands, who in the room has ever been in customer service? Anybody? Any kind of place? Okay. Just you guys who are raising your hands, how many of you have ever been asked a stupid question? Yeah. I want to tell you a quick story about a stupid question that I got asked. I used to work for a place called Circuit City. If you know what that is, you're way too old. I was in the computer department in Circuit City, and basically what that meant is I'm the computer expert, and so people would come to me when they had a computer problem. And I remember one specific November, this lady called and was very angry because we sold her a piece of junk that didn't work. And as you do in customer service, we kind of had to talk her down off the ledge so that we could get to what the problem was. And what she told me made my jaw drop. She said, "The cup holder on my computer broke off." And I had to think about what the heck does that mean? What she had done is she pushed the eject button on her CD-ROM drive. It came out, she put a big gulp on it, and it broke off. Oh my gosh. Life can be pretty tough if you don't have someone looking out for you. She probably wished that she had called me first. Well, the difficulty I think I find in life is that we as people, oftentimes, we're taught by society that we don't need anyone else. In fact, we're like, man, I got to prove that I don't need anyone else, that kind of thing. The difficulty is when something bad happens in our lives, like we get bad news from a doctor, from our business, or maybe even from our own spouse, we retreat even more. We go further back into the cave. You know, sometimes we think things like, they're not going to understand how I'm feeling. No one's going to get this. I'm too much of a burden. I can't share all of that. But ultimately, we're not designed to live that way. In fact, I think that we need each other in order to become the people that we're meant to be. Proverbs 27:7 says this, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. I think there's a lot of cool stuff in that verse. As an extrovert, my initial thoughts were, without people, we're dull. That's not what that means. What I think this scripture is saying is the key to life as it's meant to be lived is discipleship. Discipleship is critical. We need each other. Now, I don't mean discipleship as you probably are thinking of it. That kind of has a negative connotation in our culture. When we think discipleship, we think things like it's rigid, it's inflexible, it's a bunch of do's, a bunch of don'ts. Oh, I have to commit the next 9 months of my life to this thing. I don't mean that when I say discipleship. When I talk about discipleship, what I think discipleship truly is simply the sharing of wisdom, knowledge, and experience from one to another. In fact, I think it also offers us an opportunity to get interpretation, to help us understand our place in the story and what's happening around us. It offers truth. It offers understanding. It offers healing. It offers purpose. That is, if we're doing it the right way. Now, I personally believe in discipleship a lot because I'm a product of it. In my mid-20s, I'm over 20, if you can believe that. In my mid-20s, I went through one of the most difficult experiences a person can go through in their life. In fact, psychologists would say that I experienced a lot of the same emotions that people would experience when they have a death of an immediate family member. I went through a divorce. And during that time, it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to deal with. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, couldn't really work, couldn't think. But fortunately, during that time, I worked under a guy named Paul Sparrow, who gave me a lot of grace through that season. Paul looked at me, and he looked at what the potential of my life is and where I was headed based on that circumstance and said, not this one, not this time. He chose to intervene in my life and personally invest in me all that he knew, his wisdom, his knowledge, his experience. He helped me interpret my story and my place in the larger story as well. It helped that he was my boss, so when he said to me, you're going to be in my office every Friday and we're going to talk about this, I couldn't say no. But he gave me books to read. He checked the spiritual pulse of my life. He helped me to make some important decisions that would change my life even to this day. He really became a spiritual father to me. And now, because of his investment in me, I'm able to invest back in you. And the weird thing is, I'm actually able to be kind of a spiritual father to other people, and some of them who are older than me, which is kind of a weird thing. The thief tried to steal, kill, and destroy my destiny, but God worked through Paul to bring about an even more abundant life. This is how discipleship is supposed to work. Synergy. Any business people in the room, you know that word synergy, you've heard it. Really what synergy means is an interaction of elements that when combined produce a total effect greater than the sum of the individual elements. Boil that back, what does that mean? When two or more are together, they produce more than they could apart. In fact, Zig Ziglar tells this story about Belgian horses. One Belgian horse by itself can typically pull about 8,000 pounds. So you think if you put two of them together, they'd do about 16,000. Well, actually, when you put two stranger horses together, they can do 24,000 pounds. Then, when you train them together to carry the weight, it compounds up to 32,000 pounds. If we train together, what more could we accomplish? What could our lives look like if we all had a Paul, investing in each of us the best that they have? We also need to be like Paul, to find our Jameson or our Timothy and invest in them. That's how the world will truly change if we're willing to do that. People willing to intervene in others' lives and offer their knowledge, wisdom, experience. For your Timothy, it could be a turning point in lives, the difference between them going down a dark path and them meeting their abundant life. We can literally hold back the darkness in someone else's life if we're willing to do that. Invest in someone else. You can be their spiritual grandfather. I get people all the time saying to me things like, well, I'm waiting for that big moment that God shows up, the burning bush thing. I'll respond then. This is it. This is your moment. Your spider web of influence can grow greater than ever you could ask or imagine. Change your life. Find a mentor. Change someone else's life. Mentor them. Develop and deploy was never more true for me than when Paul Sparrow decided to disciple me. Here at Front Range, it might look a little different for you. We have lots of different resources to help you find your develop and deploy. At the Next Steps place, you'll find these guys. They have things like community groups. I'm a firm believer that the greatest spiritual warfare you'll ever face in your life is an hour before a community group. Fight through it. Go there. It will change your life. It is the meat and potatoes. We've got classes. We've got intensives. If you're a dude, we've got an awesome hike that you need to go on. All kinds of cool things. If you're unsure about resources, books to read, ask one of us who are leaders. We'd be happy to help you. Mentor. We'll help you find one. I had that guy there, Paul Sparrow. Here, I went outside of myself and decided to initiate looking for another mentor, a guy named Mark Thomas, who's in the audience. I went out and got it. You need to be willing to do that. So I'll just leave you with this last thought. Who are you looking to, and who are you looking for? Thanks.
Good morning, Front Range. I'm really excited to be here with you this morning and share on our final core value as a church. It's authentic community. And I really love this one a lot. I love talking about the friends that God surrounded us with, the people we've invited into our lives. And I really believe that this is one that Front Range as a church does a phenomenal job of providing opportunities for all of us to be involved in authentic community. As a church, we believe that life should be lived in and through authentic community, and that this authentic community does inspire spiritual growth. Paul gives us a great example of what this is supposed to look like in Romans 1, verses 11 and 12. He writes, "For I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord." And this second part is where I really want to focus today. He writes, "When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours." Basically, what Paul is saying here is that authentic community is a two-way street. It doesn't go just one way, but it's a two-way street. How many of you have been in a relationship where it was a one-way street, where maybe you were the only one giving or maybe you were the one taking? I don't know how that worked for you, but I'm sure you learned in that situation that it's really hard to build community with somebody when you don't communicate with them and they're not communicating with you, and when you're not spending time with one another. It's impossible to build that community. What Paul is saying here in this verse is that he really wants to be with his community. He wants to be around his peeps, not because he can encourage them and speak into their lives, but also that they can do the same for him. They encourage him. They build his faith up as well. Paul is showing us that in authentic community, we can't just be consumers, but we also have to be contributors. Just like Pastor Ernest talked about a few weeks ago, the idea behind being a contributor versus being a consumer. And I don't think that that just applies to our involvement in the local church, but that also applies to our relationships as well. Earlier this year, I saw this idea played out in my own life. The beginning of the year, our family experienced something and went through a situation that a lot of people actually go through. And I think a lot of you in this room have actually experienced this as well. On February 3rd, the beginning of this year, we lost a child to miscarriage. And those were emotions, and that's pain that I have never felt in my life, and I never thought I would. And I remember sitting at the edge of my bed when the realization finally sunk in that we had just lost a child that I was never going to hold in my arms. And I remember being just a crying, emotional mess. But it was in that moment that we reached out to that community that we had already built up, those friends that were already surrounding us, to let them know what we were going through. And those friends turned around and they reached out to us. They encouraged us. They loved us. They prayed with us. They cried and grieved with us. But more importantly, they let us know that we weren't walking alone, that they were walking the trial with us every step of the way. Just a few days later, that same week, we actually had those same group of friends, a couple in that group, that went through the same situation. They too lost their baby to miscarriage. When we received that text early that morning, we reached out to them and we did the same. We loved them, we prayed with them, we encouraged them, we grieved and we cried with them. And we let them know that they were not walking that situation alone, that we were there together. This is the perfect example of what I believe Paul is saying here in Romans. That we're to walk with each other and grieve and mourn with each other in our times of need. What I learned in this situation is that tears that fall on the floor of seclusion hurt far more than tears that are caught on the shoulders of community. And if I'm being real honest, in that time when I was hurting, the last thing I wanted to do was reach out to people. I didn't want to let anyone into the mess. I didn't want to let anyone into the hurt. I wanted to keep it to myself and maybe try and power through it on my own. But the truth is that if I had done that, I would have been hurt far more in the end, and my family would have suffered more in the end than if I had just let that community in to surround us and to love us and to remind us that God was with us and that they were with us. So today I want to encourage you to look at the community that surrounds you. Who are the people that you're surrounding your life with that are speaking into your life? And I ask you, when you cry, are your tears hitting the floor of seclusion, or are they being caught on the shoulders of community? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for today. God, I thank you for this group of people that we can come together not just as a church, God, but as a family and as a community to lift each other up. God, I pray for each person here, and I pray that you bless them throughout the day, God. We lift this up in your name. Amen.